This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, third hour, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. What's happening? A little Celtics-Cavs coming up here. Company alive for the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. You know, there's certain teams that talk and it seems somewhat hollow. And then there's certain teams that they strike a certain tone and you just kind of sense that within the first 2 or 3 minutes of the next time that they have a chance to prove that what they're reacting to at that point was an anomaly,
yeah.
That they're coming out on fire and they're going to really look to change things. And I get the impression that the Celtics are that kind of team.
There's
intense pride.
But a lot of it also is Brad Stevens. And, you know, so much of what they do is obviously having good players, which they do with Tatum and Jaylen Brown and even Al Horford, who hasn't been historically great in the postseason, but he's been great this postseason for the Boston Celtics. I think a lot of that is Brad Stevens of putting them in the right position and telling them what to do and, you know, coaching them really well.
Sure.
As opposed to, you know, some teams – at this point when they have a 30-point blowout, it's like, oh, we'll figure it out. Like the Cavs used to do, to be honest with you. The Cavs, if they have a game like the Boston Celtics had, the next game with Kyrie and LeBron, they just, all right, we're going to go score 35 points apiece, right? And that's how we're going to win. And that's just – it's not sustainable, really, even though they did win a championship kind of that way. It's not sustainable. I think what the Boston Celtics have is smart coaching and coachable players, which I think is a big deal, especially at this point in the season.
The one thing about the Cavs here, Atik, you know, and we saw this all year, they had a lot of games where they got smoked during the regular season.
Right.
And listen, a lot of it was changing the roster. Mm-hmm. Initially, it didn't work out with Isaiah Thomas. First, he wasn't there. Yep. Then when he came back, it just didn't fit, and we went through that. But the Cavaliers, you know, to be playing at this point, you know, mid-May, mm-hmm. trending toward June, a couple of wins away from the NBA Finals again, I don't know that I've quite seen, and maybe I'm omitting a team in my mind, but I feel like the Cavaliers, when they look good, like they did, you know, on Saturday, 116-86, when they look good, they look very rhythmic, and they look really good.
Yeah.
Yet when they look bad,
they look bad.
They look terrible.
There's no middle ground.
I mean, listen, everybody's vulnerable and susceptible to a stink bomb, mm-hmm. even the great Warriors. And that happened, you know, when they lost by 20 in Game 3 in the semis against the Pelicans after the Pelicans swept the Blazers. But, like, that's the outlier there.
Yeah.
The Cavaliers are all over the map because, quite frankly, they've got a lot of one-dimensional players who, when that one dimension's clicking in,
right.
they're going to look really good.
Of course. They're going to win by 30.
They're going to,
but they don't
win by 30.
But here's the difference. Like, when you look at the Warriors, and obviously the two last teams in the finals, that's why you reference them. But when the Warriors, their stars or their role players are off their game, they can create for somebody else. Whereas the Cavaliers, stars and / role players, when they're off their game, they do nothing. They give you absolutely nothing.
And so
you just can't win that way. The inconsistency, I mean, it's frustrating because we've had this cliche from the very first moment of our show. I watch sports because I want to see greatness, mm-hmm. right? And I want the Cavaliers to be in that conversation. You know, when it's all said and done.
Why don't you want the Celtics to be in that conversation?
Well,
that's a different form of greatness.
I do. And I think if they best the Cavs and end up going to the NBA Finals, I think it starts that conversation.
Yeah, I got you.
But they're not there yet, right? Mm. I can't say. I can guarantee you in 10 years the Boston Celtics are going to be viewed as one of the greatest teams. I can't say that.
No, but I'll guarantee in 5 they're still winning 55 to 60 games a year.
True. You're right.
I can guarantee
you
that.
And so,
I hear you, though.
And so in some regard – like, I'm almost ready to get on board with following that developing greatness as opposed and closing out the greatness of the Cleveland Cavaliers. And so it's just so hard to watch a team that's supposed to be great, at least in my mind, and I think a lot of people's minds, one of the great teams in the NBA, and they're just grossly inconsistent.
They're all over the map.
It's frustrating as hell, man.
See, I'm only frustrated when I don't have an answer. Like that, that's what is my source of frustration with anything in life. Like, I mean, why do we get so frustrated on the golf course? Because we can't find the answer.
We'll slow down.
You know, listen, we've been through this.
Visualize.
Switch the grip. You know, I mean, we do a million things, and it just oftentimes doesn't work. You know, frustration comes when there's no answers. When you go, and every door that you go into or attempt to go into, it's locked. It's bolted. You can't quite get in. And I'm not frustrated as I try to assess the Cavaliers. Quite frankly, I'm a little bit bored, and I talked about this last week. But I wanted to play three cuts for you. We can actually play this in succession because they're all kind of the same tone. We can react to it after in totality. The first is Marcus Morris. The second is Jaylen Brown. And the third is Terry Rozier. And as long as you're not driving, close your eyes and listen to the tone. More importantly, listen to the words and the depth. And you tell me if this strikes a tone that gives you confidence that what we saw the other night ain't happening again under their watch. Go ahead, guys.
Personally, I think I did a job defensively against LeBron. I don't think, he was just too comfortable when I was guarding him. I made myself very vulnerable on screens, and I just wasn't disciplined, man. And, we can't happen in a game of this magnitude, and it showed.
I thought it was embarrassing. I thought we came out the way I played, the way I performed. Not aggressive I was in the first half. I look at that as, fuel to come out in game three and be excited about it and be ready to play and ready to fight.
I feel like we needed this, to get us back, to get us ready for Monday.
Obviously, you needed one like this. What do you mean?
We needed to get our butts whipped, come back to reality and take care of business on Monday.
See, that's the only one that I don't necessarily agree with. Like with Morris, when he sized up quite honestly, quite candidly, his defensive job on LeBron and Jaylen Brown. I love the tone that they struck. Rozier, maybe we're placing too much stock in trying to literally interpret the words of a young athlete who's just getting ready to play the next game and maybe doesn't measure every word like we might in the jobs that we have. But I like Rozier, when he says, we needed to get our butts whipped and, as a reminder, whatever, kick us back in, get ready. Like, I could see if they said that at the end of the regular season. Like, if they were coasting and there was, a not-too-subtle reminder in Game 80. Hey, yeah, by the way, we've got bigger fish to fry down the road. Well, and if we don't start playing better, we're going to get thumped when it matters.
Well,
but that
didn't
make sense with what Rozier said.
I mean, in some ways it did.
Come out and win the game. You're up 3-0.
Yeah, but they won by 25 points in Game 1. Game 2, they won by 13. And when you looked at this Boston team, when you're young and don't realize where you actually are in the Eastern Conference Finals against LeBron James, you can get a little bit in your mind, this is just going to happen for us, right? This is just our year. Like, you start believing, when you're young, you believe that, right? Oh, this is our year. Fate is on our side. Karma, whatever you want to call it. Things are just going to happen for us because they're supposed to happen for us. Whereas anyone who's ever been in that situation will tell you, it may look like that from the outside, but in reality, it's guys busting their ass and going the extra mile and role players doing the little things. Doesn't matter the sport. That's what makes fate happen. You know what I mean? That's what makes a team that's a gross underdog be able to win championships. And so in some regards, I understand what he's saying. Terry Rozier probably thought in his mind, or maybe in his subconscious, probably not in his conscious mind, in his subconscious, this is just going to happen for us because we've been so good. It's happened all along the way. We did it in the first round. We did it against the Sixers, who everybody thought was supposed to beat us. We were the underdog. Now we got to do it. This is going to happen. It doesn't happen.
But the Sixers series wasn't easy. That's why I don't agree with that.
I know, but it happened. You know what I mean? They got through in five games. So it happened for them. And so you start believing the narrative that's out there about you. This is the Celtics year. And so in order to get that out of your mind and be focused on one game, which is all that matters, and the one right in front of you, you kind of need to get your ass kicked.
Well, maybe. I don't attribute it to youth, though. And I'm not saying that you're wrong, because maybe specific to this example, maybe it is youth. I don't know. But there's myriad examples, Teak, over the NBA, NBA annals, where a team goes up 2-0 in a series. They get whooped in game 3, and the reason they got whooped isn't because they were young and they were ill-prepared to deal with the increase of energy and desperation from the other team.
I mean, maybe
they just got whipped because they got whipped.
Well,
a lot of great veteran teams get whipped when they're up 2-0.
But, BT, you saw this.
And then they go on the road,
you
know what I mean?
But you saw the game just like I did. I mean, at least the first – eight shots, I'm questioning why they're taking the shot. Right, it was just they were just jacking them up. Right, it was ill advised.
You're talking more tactical rather than just okay.
It was hurried. It was, you know, why don't you? Not even in transition. I'm just talking about like bring the ball up the court. They just shoot as soon as they feel like they're open, and it's just not. You can't win that way. It's not how they played in game one and two, where they were moving the ball a lot and they were making sure they had the open looks. And in game three, they didn't do that at all. And when it was 20-4 at that point, or 20-7, whatever it was like they're just off, and it never got any better because there was no one to lift them because they're on the road, you know. And so I hear what they're all saying, but I kind of can relate to what Terry Rozier is saying more than all those other guys. Those other guys are pointing the finger at themselves. Like, I sucked against LeBron. Oh, I didn't have enough energy. Terry Rozier is saying, we all got our ass whooped, and we needed it. And I think he's right.
Well, I'll tell you, if that's the case, and I know that they're going to come out with a different urgency tonight. I mean, if you're thinking about doing this, you just jump all over the 7 points because they're going to be looking to foul somebody on the layup line. Like, they're going to be out there on the layup line, and they are going to be transfixed on the first couple of moments of this game, whether it's a hard pick, a hard foul. I don't mean anything dirty. I'm not talking like it's the 80s and the 90s. But whatever is passable today that will not result in an ejection, but it will simultaneously set a tone, it's going to happen, I think, pretty early. You know, and I want to say this about the Celtics team. Like, my only reluctance, because I love their depth. I'm talking about really when the playoffs started, not now. Mm-hmm. But in real time back then, to be candid, and just why I didn't think they'd be remotely this far. Like, I just try to envision, and I knew they'd be in games because they have depth and their defensive principles are great. Yep. And we know about Stevens, all the things that we say all the time, and we're right about. My main critique slash fear about the Celtics was on the road, you know, down 5 points, or more specifically, down a bucket. Who's getting that bucket late? Without Kyrie to break you down. Mm-hmm. All right, you want to set up a jump shot for Al Horford. He might nail it. And Al Horford's a good pro. I got you. I didn't think that Tatum and Brown, as much as I love them, God, I wish they were Knicks. I wish I had those kind of building blocks. They're great. But I just didn't think that they were ready because history dictates that young players in the NBA are never ready at the age of 20.
But we're wrong about them because they're both really good.
But now this is a different test.
On the road.
On the road against LeBron. I'm not wavering. I still think the Celtics win tonight. I love the 7-point spread. I think the Celtics win tonight. But man, oh man, the first couple of minutes of this game is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
It's going to tell us a lot about, one, how the Cavs follow what they did in game three, and more importantly, how the Celtics respond for what happened to them in game three.
Let's get Greg, who's in Cleveland. He's got to be sweating a little bit. Greg is on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. What up, Greg? You confident or you nervous? What's going on, buddy?
Not too much sweating. I picked the Cavs and win it in 6 or 7 anyway.
Yeah.
Obviously, I got my wine and gold colored glasses on, obviously.
It's okay.
The reason I wanted to get in on the conversation, guys, I heard you. I was watching, and I'm glad I found you guys. I enjoy it.
Thank you, man.
Nice. Well, you just found us?
I did.
Nice.
I did. I've been, you know, I watch all different kind of shows throughout the day, but I never knew you guys were on until, obviously, right now.
Welcome.
I heard you on the radio because I got Sirius satellite radio.
I got you.
But I never knew I could, you know,
could watch
you on the booth, too, which is good.
Nice.
Yeah. I just was hearing, like, you showed Jaylen Brown and Marcus Morris and, you know, the things they were saying about what they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you still got to do it between the lines. I mean, that's fine. And Boston's been on every day. They're 1-6 on the road now in the playoffs.
1-5.
It is.
Yeah,
1-5.
1-5.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough nut to crack in the land tonight. Cleveland will probably win tonight, guys, and they'll go back to Boston and probably win that game 5 in Boston.
Oof.
And maybe close them out in 6 or 7.
Hey.
That's just my opinion. I'm obviously, like I said, I got my wine and gold colored glasses on.
Greg, that was my prediction. I didn't say it with much conviction last week, but if it happens, I'll be right. We'll play it back for you. But look,
enjoy the game, Greg. Thanks for the call.
There is so much energy in the queue. He's right. It showed, right? It's one thing regular season basketball. And the Cavs, I think fans knew that they were figuring things out. It was a work in progress from jump. And we had the doubts about what Isaiah Thomas would bring. And, I mean, God, they were old. You said this in the preseason. They just looked slow-footed and old. They shifted, and then it took them a long time to figure out what role. I mean, we thought Jordan Clarkson and, you know, some of these other pieces that they grabbed at the deadline were going to be, like, the next All-Stars.
I really like, I keep,
you know,
saying
what I mean?
It. I liked Hood more so than Clarkson.
Jordan
Rodney
Clarkson
Hood
did not play.
I did.
You know, two games ago. And so At the end of the day, it's coming down to LeBron and that little tight circle of guys that he's brought and gotten paid for the Cavaliers. They have to step up for him. They did in game three. If they keep doing it, they'll win the series. If they're not, if one or two of them just decide to be absent, the Boston Celtics are too well coached and too good to let an inferior performing Cavaliers team beat them.
All right, so I'm still hanging on to my Celtics prediction. If you like the Celtics coming into this series, where are you at now? 1-855-212-4227. Get some more calls on this. Also, Vegas wins the West. We have to spend a little more time on this. It was inbounds, out of bounds. The achievement by the Vegas Golden Knights. Wow. But let's face it. If you're a future expansion team in any sport, good luck. Because now your window of transition is invisible.
You're right.
I mean, that is a real tough
Win now.
Win now. Otherwise, you failed. We'll get to the blast as well. Get some more calls, as I said. Tweets at Tiki and Tierney on a busy Monday. This game's going to be awesome tonight. Can't wait. CBS Sports Radio. Let it go. Would have been 46 today. Would have been 46. The big one. Biggie in the house. Would have been 46. Wow.
Yeah.
Time flies, huh?
Biggie got me through my PR on Saturday.
Yeah, you know what? I meant to say that at the start of the show.
But Boogie
running through Brooklyn.
Biggie Radio.
Bump a little Biggie.
Yeah, Biggie Radio on iTunes. That's what I listened to. It was great.
How do you get your PR in the rain? That's pretty good.
You know what? I learned a couple of things about myself. What BT's talking about, as I ran the Brooklyn Half Marathon, I set a PR by 6 minutes. 1 hour and 43 minutes and 51 seconds. My previous best was 149, 52 or something like that. But about midway through, like mile seven, it was freezing to start, which is actually a good thing because it keeps your body cool when you start heating up when you're running.
Okay.
But the more important thing, when I hit mile seven, I was like, all right, I'm going to try to start pushing myself a little bit. I want a negative split going in. That means run faster and per mile on the second half than on the first half. And I found this girl, right, just by accident. Never saw her face, but I was running right behind her. This has nothing to do with what you said.
I mean, I'm just following the story. I didn't say anything.
So I'm running behind her, and she's got, like, perfect form. You know what I mean? Because a lot of times when you're running and you're starting to get a little bit fatigued and you see other people around you start to, like, slouch and, like, struggle.
Sucks you in.
Like, you unconsciously start to do the same thing.
Okay.
Right? So I saw this girl running in front of me. She had a ponytail out of her hat, these pink shorts on, and she's just perfect form, like she's perfectly running, right? And I said, all right, I'm just going to match her. Mm-hmm. Right? So and she was running faster than I was, but I said, I'm going to match her cadence. So every step she takes, I'm going to take a step, right? Every time she straightens up, I'm going to straighten up. So for the last 6 miles, I'm running right behind this girl.
Good thing she didn't know. She would have thought you were a freak.
She had no idea, right? Exactly.
Who's this guy following me?
We're just constantly passing people, like just weaving through traffic, and I'm just right behind her, just right the whole way. And so I get
so
to...
So you just need a fallback.
Well,
it's what it comes down
that,
to for
and
you.
You need the example. Like, your mind plays tricks on you when you see negative things happening around you, but when you see something positive happening around you, you lock in.
Sure.
So I was telling Sam to this. I average about an 8-10 mile per mile on that second half. Yeah. I did 1:07.03, and I averaged about 7:20 something.
Shaved off about 55 seconds each one.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
So 55 seconds for the last 6 miles.
No, I got you.
That's why I had a 6-minute PR because
that's awesome.
Found this one girl. It was great.
Yeah, if you don't see her, you're going to finish the race. You're going to do well, but PR.
Exactly. I'll do okay, and it won't be. Is interesting to me.
But here's the question for the next race. Now you have to lock in and find somebody else.
It's always that way. I always do try to look. I can't ever find one.
All right.
Or at least I can't find one that goes the distance.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You'll be there for a while, then they'll fall off. So you just got lucky. Sometimes you get lucky.
Did you see her after the race?
Did not. Because she sprinted to the finish. I just kind of cruised into the finish.
Yeah.
And then she disappeared to the crowd.
But it was cool. Running angel.
She was.
Nice, man.
Like,
great job on the PR.
It was fun.
6 minutes is incredible in the rain. That's awesome. Andrew's in New York City. Andrew's on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. What up, Drew?
How's it going?
How are you?
Good. I've been a Celtic fan over 50 years.
Lucky you.
In New York? Come on, man.
Yeah, and I'm also a Cowboy fan for like about the same amount of time. So
Where did you grow up? Why? Where did you grow up?
Are you a New Yorker?
Yes, because back then the Celtics and the Sixers, Russell and Chamberlain used to go out like every weekend.
I hear you. I got you.
Well, how about the Knicks?
Well, the Celtics were you know,
they were winning championships.
You're a front runner. You could say it. You're a front runner. I got you. You're a front runner. Okay.
No, when you're a kid, you know, I was like eight, 9 years old. When you're a little kid, you know, and every weekend you're seeing these, you know, these great games.
I got you.
Yeah. But anyway, I think the Celtics are in trouble, actually, like on the road, like Kubrick, Kyrie Irving, because, like, during the year, the Celtics had, like, one of the best records on the road, but they had Kyrie Irving, and he's, like, a 25-point scorer, you know, but they don't have him now. So.
Yeah. Well, Andrew, you make a good point, because on the road, when you have, and again, we talk about the youth, you don't care. You know what I mean? When you're a vet and you've been around for a little bit, you've had some success or failures, you go on the road and the crowd is MFing you and screaming at you.
It's actually oxygen. It probably works for you.
If you've been around long enough, you start to thrive off of it. You feed off of it. Look at Reggie Miller. When Reggie Miller used to come to the Garden,
I
mean, Spike Lee's over there screaming at him, and he feeds off of it. You know what I mean? So these young kids, other than Al Horford, a lot of them, they just don't know how to do that yet. And so it distracts them as opposed to fuels them.
But they might also be immune to the enormity of the stage.
Good point.
It might not be a tonic for their success, but it might not be poison for their demise.
That's a good point.
So now it might just be neutral. Maybe the best team will just win.
Yeah.
We'll see. And I still think the best team's Boston, but, you know, if they don't win tonight, my confidence will be a little rattled. Not entirely, though. I want to see the tone of the game, obviously. Angela is in the great state of North Carolina. Angela, how are you? I appreciate you holding on. What's happening?
Oh, I'm just fine. Hope you all are well.
We are good.
We've had Angela before, right?
Of course.
We like Angela.
Oh, yes.
What's on your mind?
You know, anytime you get North Carolina related, I get hot. You know what I mean?
Got to represent. What's up, Angela? What's going on?
Steph is ours. Don't mess with Steph. I know he plays in the Bay, but he is a Carolina boy, okay?
He is.
All right. So let's just look at the numbers. Now, Durant, Westbrook, Harding, and Ibaka.
Yep.
Three of them MVP candidates. Did they ever win 73 games?
No.
No.
Nobody has.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Steph, Clay, Draymond, Harrison, Barnes did that. And they won a championship.
Right.
They were drafted by
Golden State.
The Warriors.
Yep.
Try as you might, it will never be Kevin Durant's team. Mm. Your reporter from the Bay took my thunder when he said Oracle is euphoric when Steph does something. KD, yeah, that's nice. We like you. All right, but Steph.
It's a different sound.
Yeah.
It sounds different. Yeah.
Family.
That's such a good point.
Sounds different. I agree with you.
You're right. You're right. It's like, thank, we love you, mercenary, but, you know, our boy is deaf.
You know, Clay and Draymond have been free agents. Did they leave to go play with Kevin?
No.
Okay. So the team still feeds off of Steph. We love Kevin coming to join the party, but he's not family.
Yeah.
Okay?
Ooh.
Now.
Angela, lady.
Hey, I like it.
Get on Angela's bed.
You're on my level, Angela.
Well, I've been trying to call you all since the first day of the March Madness when I tell you, I DVR you. It's like, I don't know if Brandon just knows I'm watching and he just has to say something to get me out. But that day he said that Louisville was going to play AT&T, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh,
I graduated from North Carolina AT&T. That's for agricultural and technical. AT&T is American Telephone and Telegram.
Angela's got material.
I'm telling you.
She's coming with the holster's not empty, that's for sure.
No, I'm just saying, and then just for the one thing is your question you were asking about what would be the greatest these Vegas nights, and I've only become a hockey fan because of Boomer. I mean, I just got to tell the truth. I know nothing about hockey.
That makes three of us.
Basically. Hey, Ange, we appreciate your call. I just love the story of the Golden Knights.
That's incredible.
It's
incredible.
I don't watch hockey enough. I mean, maybe when PK, because he comes on with us a couple of times when they were good last year and in the Cup, I watch a couple of those games. But I just don't.
Listen,
it's not my thing.
You can't watch. I don't think you could be equally or have equal fervor for the NHL and the NBA. at some point, often they intersect.
No, they
gotta make
certainly
a point.
Are.
I know.
Right now, I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
We're in the Eastern Conference Finals are still going on, but the Western Conference is decided. And then right now, we're deciding the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference and the NBA. It just parallel.
And you got to make a decision. What are you going to watch? I mean, you know, at least, you know, and you watch the show enough, you know, watch the interview that we had with Luke Robitaille last week. Luke was in the studio. It's on TikiandTierney.com YouTube. It really was awesome. Spoke about that great 2002 Red Wings team with Yzerman, of course, Bowman, the head coach, and all the 10 Hall of Famers that they had. I mean, at one point in my life, I really was a devout hockey fan. But as the story goes, I didn't play it.
Yeah.
If you don't play it, at least the way I was built, if I didn't play it, I didn't follow it with the, you know, at some point you got to get off that, and I went to basketball.
Yep.
And it's my prime passion, really. So it's not that I don't understand the game. It's just I don't watch it on a nightly basis. But back to the Vegas accomplishment, this is different than like a team that gets hot late. Like, I know we always reference Villanova 85. I know it's not the same pro versus college. But when Villanova beat Georgetown in 85, that was a monumental upset. Monumental. Ewing's team was... it was ridiculous. They were Mike Tyson in the college hoop sense, and Villanova had no business winning that game. If they play 10 times, Georgetown's going to win 9. The one game that they won was the one game that they happened to play, Villanova. But they were an 8 seed. You know, they were a good team all year, but a complete non-factor in the championship race. Vegas this year, they came out swinging.
Yeah,
they won their first three games, and every time they hit their division too. Every time they hit a little bump, like in late October and early November, they lost like 5 out of 8 or 6 out of 9, and everybody's like, "Well, here they are." No, and then they always found a way to regenerate. Usually, stories like this, they sneak up on you.
Yeah.
Vegas has been good all year.
Yeah, they started the season. Again, I referenced this earlier on in the show. They started their season 5 days after that massacre on the Strip in Las Vegas, and they played 2 games on the road. I can't remember. I remember their first game was against the Coyotes. And
their first game was at Dallas.
No, the first game at home.
Gotcha. Sorry.
Was against the Coyotes, and their defenseman got up, and he gave this emotional – I forget his name. It slipped my mind. But he gave this emotional – a present speech, and they go out and they win that game.
Then they play the Red Wings at home after that.
Then they played the Red Wings. They lost the next 2 games. But over the course of the season, you just keep hearing these little tidbits about them. And they're not supposed to be good. They're an expansion team. Expansion teams win 28, 29 games in the NHL. But the way that they reshifted or rechanged the rules on how you draft, it was, I think you protect, what, 7? I used to know this, 7 forwards and 3 defensemen and then a goalie, or it could be 8 forwards and 1 defenseman and a goalie. They were able to piece together some frontline stars.
Yep.
Like the line one stars. You couple that with a fan base that like truly embraced them.
And early there were some empty seats.
But they embraced them ultimately as the season got on. They got better.
Yep.
And before you know it, I mean, they became this amazing story. And you can't ignore it now. The first ever expansion team to get into the Stanley Cup Finals. It's an awesome story.
It really is. And there's no ifs or hyphens or buts or dot, dot, dots,
nothing.
Whatever the official word for that is, I always forget.
Ellipses?
Yes, it's just an incredible story,
yeah.
Period. All right, Adam Schein, our guy Adam, gotta love Schein. The guy, I always joke with Adam. You could put, if you had like an Adam Schein doll in the store, you could like pull the button or push a button or pull like a little rope, and you could have like these 5 expressions. Look at this guy. Shine, he's great. He's coming up next. Watch his unmatched enthusiasm as he brings it to a whole new level. Coming up on his nightly show, Strong Takes, High Energy, Time to Shine, tonight at 6 Eastern on CBS Sports Network right here after us. We do it every Monday through Friday. Shine follows us every day. We get the update from Mac. We have the blast after that and final predictions on the Celtics and Cavs before we bounce. Here's Ack. Okay, we still got a lot to squeeze in, Teague. Let's jump back into it here. Yeah, would have been 46 years old today. All right, time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question, Sean Olberts at All in All. That's the Sean's Twitter handle. Do you guys think that Boston or Cleveland can win a road game, or will home teams hold serve in this Eastern Conference Finals? I mean, pretty simple for me. I think both teams certainly capable of winning
in the
other team's building. No doubt.
I would say Cleveland, though, has a better shot, if I'm given odds, to win a road game before Boston.
Is it just the LeBron factor? Is that the default answer?
Yeah,
it's tough to disagree with that.
He has a day, and then all he needs is J.R. Smith to have knock down four or five big three-pointers, and, you know, it's a game. And it gets to a game with 5 minutes left, I'm taking LeBron every time.
I think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
That's really been one of the issues with the Cavs in these early games.
Yep.
They get behind so quickly that by the end of the third quarter, middle of the fourth quarter, it's not a game, right? If it's a game for any LeBron team with, you know, 8-10 minutes to go, you believe that LeBron's going to find a way, but they haven't been games.
It's fair. I mean, listen, I feel you on the LeBron confidence, but, you know, defense travels.
Good point.
You know, like speed in baseball or
we saw
speed
that
for baseball.
Against the 76ers, I mean, with the Celtics.
Yeah. So, I listen, tonight, I just want a good game tonight. I want a game where, I mean, seriously, the final 2 minutes, I'm sitting there like, who's going to win this game?
Right.
I think we're all looking for that. Let's go. Okay, we will blast here in a second. Then, Diesel, do us a favor. Tee this up here. It's short, but it's interesting. I got to point something out about our buddy Charles Barkley, a little post-game with Durant on the set from TNT after the game. I want to get back to that, but you ready to blast away here, Teek?
Yeah, let's.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, here we go. The Suns are open to trading the first overall pick. If they want Doncic, should they trade him? Should they trade that first overall pick?
No, they shouldn't. This is weird to me by Kokoskov, who knows Doncic from his days as the Slovenian international head coach, would not want this kid who's been one of the greatest players in European basketball over the last, not just because he's young, but literally across the league.
Yep.
Why would you not want him? You know what I mean? So
maybe you play defense. Maybe doesn't think you can handle the intense pressure when they pick you up 94 feet.
But he's consistent.
He's a great looking passer.
But he's consistent as one of the top two or three in the draft. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I hear you. And that would worry me. Because then obviously,
right.
You know, intimate intel, you know, what does he know that maybe the rest of the world doesn't know? But here's the thing. Should they be open to trading the first overall pick if they want Doncic? Yeah, because I don't think that any other team's going to take him number one. Now, if you trade with somebody in the 11th spot or the Knicks at 9 or somebody, the Cavaliers today, that makes no sense.
Yeah.
But if you drop down 2 or 3 spots, I could see.
Yeah, they're trying to do what the Celtics did last year. Drop down a couple spots and still get the player
they want. And still get your guy. And I think if you're smart about it, I think that you can. All right, how about this? Charles Woods, this is a really interesting take, says that Michigan hasn't put enough emphasis on the Ohio State rivalry. So what's more important, a big national presence or beating your rival? To me, they're interrelated here. If you beat your rival, you've got a big-time national presence.
Especially if you're
Ohio State.
Exactly, especially because your rival's Ohio State.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't mean if it's Bowling Green and Toledo.
Yeah,
no, I mean, I'm obviously pertaining to, you know, the top USCs and the Stanfords. I mean, you get up to that level, of course.
But generally speaking,
Auburn, Alabama.
If Virginia beats Virginia Tech, is that
no
more important?
No,
I mean?
But I was answering within the context of the whole Ohio State-Michigan dynamic. You beat Ohio State, you're a top 5, top 10 player.
Yeah.
You got a chance to win a championship. They got to start beating them soon.
Yeah, no,
soon.
I agree.
And Michigan State.
I think it's specific to certain teams and certain conferences where the rivalry game matters so much it determines how people feel about you, regardless of what the rest of your record is. Otherwise, though, I think it's for teams, you know, to build a national presence. That's the most important thing, to get recruits, which obviously help you win more games and build your national presence.
Vlad Guerrero, no surprise, he's crushing. He's hitting over 400 in the minors. 400? What's the best father-son duo?
Wow.
Could be any sport. Doesn't have to be baseball.
Yeah, we did this with the holes before. I think we did this way back when we used to. What was that segment we used to do? We used to rank
TikTok.
It was a rank.
The question.
We did a rank.
TikTok.
I'm going to say the Mannings.
And you said that last time.
I did.
Yeah,
I did.
I don't know if I said Barry and Bobby Bonds, but I'm going to say it now. Bobby Bonds gets swept under the rug. He was before our time. What year did he retire? He retired in 81. I really can say that I don't recall ever seeing him play.
Yeah.
And if I did, it was like when I was really young and he was incredibly diminished.
Yeah.
This guy's got 330-plus home runs, 1,000-plus RBIs. He stole over 450 bases. OPS is over 800. Had some MVP votes in like 5 or 6 years. A couple of All-Star teams. Then he throw what Barry did?
Yeah.
That's kind of overlooked what Bobby did.
Might want to say the Earnhardts. NASCAR.
You could, but you said the Paytons or you said the Mannings. How about, I'm going to get back. I got a couple things to get back to here. All right, Justify wins the second leg of the Triple Crown. How interested are we in Belmont? I'm interested. I'm not going to lie. If there's no Triple Crown threat, I really couldn't care less unless I'm actually at Belmont, which I've had the pleasure of being a couple of times
I
here.
I have, too.
I mean, it's hot as hell there. And it's actually miserable. It's miserable getting there. Oh, my God. It's tough getting in, tough getting out.
You park in, like, a neighborhood. And you got to walk, like, 4 miles to get to the track.
Did I tell you? The last time I went to Belmont,
yeah.
Jen and I, we weren't married yet. We were engaged. I drove from Hoboken. This is a true story.
Yeah.
From Hoboken to Belmont.
Oh, wow.
With the keys on the top of my car. And I got to Belmont, and they were still on top of the car.
You're lucky.
How is that possible?
Just to answer this, we have a Triple Crown opportunity here. I would implore people, justify the place, not to win.
Finally, let's get a dry track, though. This is the first time that we've had the back-to-back wet tracks in the history of the Derby and and the Preakness, back-to-back wet tracks.
Belmont's a mile and a half. If he had an extra quarter of a mile.
Who's feeding you this info? Who's telling you this?
No, I'm just telling you. I watched it.
Look at him.
Who came in second? Bravazo was hawking him, man.
Are you giving us gambling advice?
I'm just telling you.
I don't know. Confer with my guy. All right. Premier League soccer viewership hits record highs. This question comes up all the time. Mm-hmm. Not that it's not bad, but I'm not saying that. Do you see soccer passing hockey in popularity in the United States? Just in our country. Forget about the Leeds and the Canadians.
It might take a decade, but because of there are international stars in the EPL who we know, right? You know their names. Hockey, you just don't know the players. And we ask
Luke Robitaille
this exact question. He said we don't do a good, meaning the NHL, doesn't do a good enough job promoting their stars. We don't know their names. Some of them we do, but a lot of them we don't.
I have to say yes to this question. I have to. I mean, first of all, it's a reversal of trends. If I was going to bet this and I'm looking at it, I'd go on the pony in front, and that's soccer right now.
Yeah, most popular sport in the world.
Yeah, because the pony's got, not only does the pony have a sizable lead, but it's gaining momentum, which is two ways to break. Who's winning the race, and is the horse leading the race still humming? And right now, soccer is still humming.
You're right.
Sorry, hockey, but it is what it is.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
Santer said in my ear when we were doing the question about Michigan and Ohio State and their inability to beat them.
Yeah.
And it's a really good. I want to get back to that in a second. I do want to remind you about a toll-free line here. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to GEICO.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. All right, so Santer said it's an interesting one. Would you rather go 5-5 and beat Ohio State?
If you're Michigan,
or go 13-1 and lose to Ohio State?
Mm.
I mean, you got to take
that one loss. One loss is Ohio State?
Yeah.
Yes.
You have to, because you could still have a chance for the Final Four for the national championship if Ohio State is nationally viable like they always are.
Yeah.
He's got to start beating these teams.
I know.
I mean, I'm sorry. You got to start beating Ohio State and Michigan State.
Exactly. That's the other thing. It's not just Ohio State. It's Michigan State as well. And Michigan State's good, but they're not Ohio State. You know what I mean? I mean, Michigan State was good for a year.
They're not giving you $9 million to lose.
Spartans
have a nice program, no doubt. Good defense, a lot of guys in the pros.
Mm-hmm.
$9 million is supposed to be Michigan State. Okay, so what do we got tonight? I want to check something. I want to see where the legal money is going. Let me give you that answer.
I like Cleveland only because...
I'm not hearing confidence, by the way.
Well, I was going to say only because I kind of predicted that they would lose the first two.
You're so unlike me. It's like you hold on to predictions.
I'm holding on to it.
I just reassess and readjust and tell you what I'm feeling today.
I'm holding on to this one.
What are you feeling today?
Only because you made me.
I know what you're predicting.
You made me hold on to it. You made me like give it some oomph. And I had zero confidence in myself.
Well, are you going to ratchet up the confidence now? Or is it going to be the same, half-hearted because you don't really believe it, non-enthusiastic presentation?
I'm still tepid on it. But
good word,
they won by 30. 30. I mean, it wasn't even a game. And you knew it from the first, 15 minutes, into the second period. You knew it wasn't a game. Now, if they do that again, or anywhere close to that again, I'm going to come in tomorrow, and I'm going to double down on my prediction that they're going to
Yeah, but at that point, it's not going to be interesting.
Yeah, but interesting to me.
But come on.
I'm going to have D-Cell pull it. I'm going to have Samter promote it up on social media.
We'll have Rome put it on. Maybe Time to Shine could throw you a little, a little lower third graphics.
Now, he's coming Barber up next, by the said way. This. 8 days ago.
Celtics, I should say, the legal, stressing the word legal gambling public right now. 53% of the money waged thus far. Keep in mind, smart money generally comes in late. Just remember, 53% laying their money on the Celtics so far.
Plus seven?
Yeah, I definitely think the Celtics cover. I think the Celtics win. See you tomorrow. Peace!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.